Time to go back to the hotline. Time to welcome in Congressman Garrett Graves for DC Current, presented by the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry, Lobby, our state's Chamber of Commerce. If you are a business owner, you need to check them out at lobby.org. Congressman Graves, welcome back. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about you?
Doing very well as well. A busy week this week?
It has been an incredibly busy week. Flew back in yesterday and absolutely hit the ground running. We did a big panel on infrastructure with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, kind of talking about all of the major problems with infrastructure, development delays, underfunding, the bureaucratic or regulatory problems with actually executing projects. We have Police Week going on right now. Mm-hmm. We have literally thousands and thousands of police officers in town this week, and honoring the sacrifices, the lives of those that have been and lost in service to our communities all across the United States. We had a vigil with them last night. We did a big bill on the United States Coast Guard. We finally debated the federal aviation bill that has been really out there just treading water since June or July of last year when we passed it through the House. We've been waiting on the Senate, and finally the Senate took action. We'll be having final passage vote on that today. So a really busy day yesterday as soon as we hit the ground. And today's going to be no difference. Look at the schedule. It's like about 16 hours straight today. Got a whole lot going on. So a lot happening right now.
All right, let's start with the infrastructure then. As the Army Corps of Engineers released their work plan, but what, $600 million coming to Louisiana? But I don't think we can etch that in stone yet, right?
No, actually, those dollars are pretty much locked in.
Okay, good.
Those are. So that's a result of some of the work that we did in the appropriations bills, some of the advocacy work we've done with what's called discretionary funds that the Corps of Engineers has the ability to direct in different areas. So look, it's a decent year. We've got needs that are well beyond that. And Brian, I'm not exaggerating when I tell you we could probably spend about $2 billion a year. Louisiana has one of the most complex water resource programs in the United States. And you think about it, I mean, it's everything from draining Montana, New York, Canada, all the way through our river system to record land loss in the United States to hurricane protection, flood control, five of the top 15 ports in America. We have hands down the most diverse and complex water resources environment in the country. And, you know, while I'm not going to sneeze at our ability to secure $600 million, I'm also going to express frustration. Mm-hmm. We see $350 million of the Corps of Engineers budget being diverted to build bridges in Massachusetts. Why the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is building bridges for a state, I have no idea. I think it's inappropriate. It is not the proper prioritization or use of dollars for an agency that's supposed to be responsible for resilience, for hurricane and flood protection, for water management, not bridges. And then one last thing is to see the comparison of the Florida Everglades that I'm not going to pick fights, but I will just quote National Geographic that called the Florida Everglades, quote, a petting zoo compared to the ecological and wildlife diversity of coastal Louisiana. And they're getting $430 million, and effectively for coastal Louisiana restoration in this budget, we're going to get about $6 million. And so, you know, some things like that get really frustrating. I have no doubt that that's 100% attributable to politics, mm-hmm. but frustrating nonetheless.
When you say $430 million, is that just for the Everglades, or is that for the entire state of Florida?
No. That is just for the Florida Everglades. And on top of it, Brian, that is just the Corps of Engineers component. You're going to have Department of Interior. You will have EPA and other agencies contribute additional dollars.
Yeah, the follow-up was going to be about the Department of Interior because the Everglades is a national park. I was wondering if there was some wiggle room to move us into a better state there.
Look, it's something that we've talked about in the past. One of the complexities is, if I remember right, 82% of coastal Louisiana is privately owned, very different than the scenario that you have in Florida. As you know, we don't have these white sandy beaches. We have the third longest shoreline in America, and it is largely coastal wetlands with very rare exception. And so it's a very different environment in terms of it's a working coast, it's privately owned, it's wetland, not beaches. But look, bottom line is the primary cause of land loss in Louisiana is the federal government and the management of the river by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And I think that they have a liability there and a responsibility to be more aggressive in their efforts to help to fix and restore coastal Louisiana.
So the $600 million we are getting, how does that break down into real-life projects, into what we see, what we physically see on our landscape?
Sure, sure. And, Brian, let me make note that does not include some of the additional funding we announced earlier this year for the projects like the Comeet Project in the Capital Region, the West Shore Project in the River Region. But some of the big components, we're going to see a big investment in the Morganza to the Gulf Project, which is hurricane protection down in Terrebonne and Lafourche Parishes. We're going to see the single largest component, over $200 million, will be for dredging the Mississippi River from Baton Rouge down to the Gulf of Mexico. And there's some other components as well once you get down to the different passes down below the Bird's Foot. And so that is the largest single component. So that's making sure that the river is wide enough, deep enough to facilitate all of these major vessels that are coming from all over the world that allow us to have one of the largest port systems in the world, that allow us to be this major import-export intermodal hub with our river, with our intercoastal canal, with our rails and our interstates. Major employer, as I recall, one in every five jobs in the state of Louisiana is tied back to our waterways, so really important component there. There's going to be investment in the Mississippi River Gulf Outlet restoration and the West Bank and Vicinity Project in Jefferson, Plaquemines, and Orleans Parishes. This is everything from A to Z. Their investments in Southwest Coastal, which is over in the Calcasieu and Cameron areas. So a whole lot of investment everywhere from north of Baton Rouge down literally to the Gulf of Mexico. So it's everything from ports and dredging, flood protection, coastal restoration projects, really, really diverse portfolio projects.
We got Congressman Garrett Graves with us. This is DC Current presented by LABI. John, I'm letting you know right now we're going long. All right. Okay. And there's so much to cover. I want to get to the immigration bill from last week, but can we pivot next to it being Police Week up there? And this is, it's National Police Week on Capitol Hill. This kind of opens the door to talk about weapon GPO again.
Yeah. It's amazing. I was talking to police officers last night just as I was coming to the Capitol. I have police officers from all over the country, and it is amazing. You meet people from all over the United States, and they're like, oh, you're the guy who has the bill. So this is affecting literally people in all 50 states. We had a meeting yesterday. I had a meeting on Wednesday last week. Look, this is, Brian, every time you and I talk about this, I say this statement: if this was easy, it would have been done 40 years ago. This has been, folks have been fighting for this, trying to fix this for 40 years now. It is incredibly complex. It is incredibly expensive. But one of the things that keeps driving me is that this is their money. This is those police right. officers, those teachers, and other public employees' money that they contributed to the Social Security Trust Fund. So we are continuing to work on this. I'm gonna say what I said before. You know, we had a hearing in November in Louisiana. We had a hearing last month up here in Washington, and we are pushing for and moving toward getting the committee to mark up this bill or have a markup session, a voting and amendment session on this bill this summer. We're pushing really hard. That's our goal. And then that would set us up for floor action, meaning a vote before the full House. So that's what we're trying to do. We are making more progress. We have more co-sponsors than at any other time relative in history. And so a lot's going on there, but up to 319 co-sponsors out of 435 members of Congress, strong bipartisan support. And with this divisive Congress, you don't see that type of rallying or consensus around anything. So lots of progress.
Yeah. And I mean, how often is it said you can't pay police officers enough? And while it's up to us on a local level to find a raise for them to increase their gross pay, this can increase their net.
Well, you can't pay police officers enough. And keep in mind, This is Police Week, and it's the Peace Officers Memorial Service, honoring those that have given their lives. And so, no, you can't pay police officers enough because of their sacrifice and their efforts to keep our community safe.
Okay, immigration bill from last week. This is it's getting so loosey goosey, Congressman. It's like reality doesn't make sense.
It really doesn't. And the fact that we're sitting here even having to debate some of these questions is remarkable to me. So the quick story is that with all of the millions and millions of illegal immigrants that this administration has allowed to freely come across our southern border, what happens when you do a census is they count every person in the country, regardless of whether they're here illegally or not, regardless of whether they're the citizen of a foreign country or not. And so we had a debate last week on a bill that would say that if you're an illegal immigrant, you do not count toward the census, which also counts toward the electoral votes that determines who's the president of the United States.
Right.
So a quick little anecdote is that the state of California, by some estimates from about 6 years ago, indicated that the state of California has 6 to 7 additional members of Congress attributable entirely to illegal aliens, people that are illegally in their country, foreigners in their country, in their state, excuse me. And the state of Louisiana, we only have 6 in total. So these illegal immigrants that are in California alone allow for 6 or 7 extra members of Congress, which then offset every single vote that we have in the House of Representatives from Louisiana. And those 6 or 7 votes in California, those also translate to electoral votes or who determines who the president of the United States is. So once again, California is more than offsetting the entire population of Louisiana in terms of who we select to vote for president of the United States. This is the definition of foreign interference in elections, and this administration thinks that it's okay. And I can't even believe we've got to sit there and try and have a debate on this. It lacks common sense and just infuriating that we've even got to waste time debating this issue.
Some things just they feel like they should just be if this, like you said, it shouldn't have to be argued. If it's going to tip the scales this much, then it doesn't matter if those who are in the country illegally vote or not. They're already tipping the scales by giving more power of the vote to certain states.
Amen. It dilutes the vote of Louisianians. And what it does is it basically says that if you live in California or some of these other handful of states, New York, that have these massive illegal populations, that the vote of someone from those states is more powerful than the vote of someone from Louisiana, and that is not the way our Constitution's structured. It is not the way our election systems are supposed to work. And as I said on the floor the other day, so you have someone who is a Russian citizen who illegally came in the United States to the southern border, who can still vote for Vladimir Putin, but also have an influence on who the president of the United States is, and their presence in California allows the state of California to get more formula funding for things like transportation, education, healthcare, and others. I mean, it is disgusting what happens. And because Louisiana has such a low number of illegal immigrants, we suffer from this. We are a victim of this awful policy.
It's like a bad movie. He's Congressman Garrett Graves. All right, last one before we get you out of here, because I got to take you to your Facebook page 3 days ago. I saw on your Facebook page a cookie credit card from Albertsons. What is that about, and where can I get one?
Man, Brian, I remember when I was a kid, I was so excited to go grocery shopping with my mom. We used to go to that Albertsons that was on what was that, Sherwood Forest, and in Florida, right down the corner. And that was how mom would get me to go, is that she'd kept that little cookie credit card. I remember when I was a kid, you would go there and you would go show your card at the bakery and they would give you a free cookie. And so mom found it the other day, and it was from 1980, and basically said every time you went to Albertsons that you could show that card and get a free cookie if you had your parents with you. So I got to grab my mom and run back over and see if they'll honor it. Well,
yeah, I gotta know if they will honor it, because honestly, with Bidenomics, you need it.
No kidding. Yeah, I need to go do that in video and see how that goes.
Well, over. Yeah, but the only problem here is, Congressman, with inflation, they might charge you a cookie.
No doubt. Or they're going to be really, really small.
Yes. He is Congressman Garrett Graves, joins us at this time every week. We always appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Brian.